Translation and purport by His Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. This son of Vyasadeva was only 16 years old. His legs, hands, thighs, arms, shoulders, forehead and other parts of his body were all delicately formed. His eyes were beautifully wide and his nose and ears were highly raised. He had a very attractive face and his neck was well formed and beautiful like a conch shell. Purport: a respectable personality is described beginning with the legs, and this honored system is observed here with Sukadev Goswami. He was only 16 years of age. A person is honored for his achievements and not for his advanced age. A person can be older by experience and not by age. Sri Sukadev Goswami, who is described herein as the son of Vyasadeva, was by his knowledge more experienced than all the sages present there, although he was only 16 years old. Om Agyanati Nirantasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshuronmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manovishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Sada Dadatri Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamstra Shri Rupam Sadhrajatam Sahagana Raghunatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvetam Sadhubhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Namita Shri Vishakavitamstra He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Sapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranami Hari Priye Vancha Kaupata Rubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Eva Cha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadara Shivasati Kura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare 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 Krishna to all the Vaishnavas. This is my first time today giving class, a Srimad Bhagavatam class at the manor today. I'm not at all qualified to speak, but since I've been given this service, I will try my best. I hope I will speak something that is relevant, pleasing, and for my purification. So I humbly ask all the Vaishnavas assembled here today to bestow your blessings upon me. So we see from this verse that this is a great moment in the Srimad Bhagavatam as Srila Sukadev Goswami has appeared on the scene. So we know the story so far that Parikshit Maharaj had been cursed to die in 7 days, and he is seeking direction as to what to do. And all the sages have assembled on the bank of the Ganges. And Maharaj Parikshit had 2 main questions. What is the duty of everyone in all circumstances? And what is the specific duty of one who is shortly to die? And at this moment, the scene is set and Srila Sukadev Goswami appears on the scene. So today's verse begins with a description of Sukadev Goswami, who was only 16 years of age. Srila Prabhupada says in the purport that a respectable personality is described with legs. So we see that when we come for darshan of the deities, we also do that. We start from the feet and then we go upwards to the Lord's lotus feet, lotus face. So in the Srimad Bhagavatam, in Canto 2, Chapter 2, Verse 13, Srila Prabhupada actually describes how to take darshan. So I will just read this out. The process of meditation should begin from the lotus feet of the Lord, progressing to his smiling face. The meditation should be concentrated upon the lotus feet, then the calves, then the thighs, and this way higher and higher. The more the mind becomes fixed on the different parts of the limbs, one after another, the more the intelligence becomes purified. This is the way to see respectable personalities. So Srila Prabhupada here actually tells us how to take the darshan. And we see that even other respectable personalities, we show them respect by paying our obeisances. So we're starting from the feet. Now, I've heard from the seniors at the manor that years ago, when devotees met each other at the manor, in the corridors or wherever in the manor, they would actually pay physical obeisances. So they would all go down. And this etiquette was followed. But now we have many, many devotees in our congregation. And if we started doing this, I don't think we would be able to get up. We would be there down all day. So Srila Prabhupada says here that this is the way of showing respect to a respectable personality. So how do we know that Srila Sukadev Goswami is a respectable personality? So this beautiful description here is a sign of a great personality. So in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi Leela 14.15, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is described as follows. There are 32 bodily symptoms of a great personality. 5 of his body parts are large, 5 fine, 7 reddish, 6 raised, 3 small, 3 broad, and 3 gray. So we see that in today's verse as well, there's a description. His nose and ears were highly raised. So these are some of the symptoms of a great personality. Also, in the Nectar of Devotion, in Chapter 21, Krishna's is also described there. His attributes are also described. So it says that his neck is just like a conch shell. There is highness in 5 parts of his body, his nose, arms, ears, forehead, and thighs. So we see that also in today's verse, Sukadev Goswami's neck is described to be well-formed and beautiful, just like a conch shell. So the aggregate of all these bodily features is manifest only in the bodies of great personalities. So also we see in the Brihat Bhagavatam, when Gopakumar visits the Vaikuntha planet, he saw that all the residents look like Vishnu. And he was approaching them thinking, is this the Supreme Personality, is this Vishnu? And they were all saying, no, it's not us. So the residents also had the attributes of Vishnu. So we see that great personalities have these attributes, but the Lord has them in full. And, listening to, people who have met Srila Prabhupada, his disciples, everyone usually says that Srila Prabhupada, there was an effulgence, he was shining, he had that attribute as well. So in the previous verse, the women and children, so as Sukadev Goswami was coming, the women and children thought him to be some sort of a madman, and they started following him and doing all sorts of things because he had no clothes on like a Grihastha, he had no danda like a sannyasi, nor did he act in a particular way. So, you know, it was very difficult to know who he was. And he had the physical attributes to show he was a great personality. But however, only people who have knowledge can understand this. So the great personalities also disguise themselves and do not meet our expectations of normal, you know, people or normal people with appearances or dress or etiquette. We also see there's a example in the Srimad Bhagavatam of Jadabharat, and Jadabharat also used to roam around like a mendicant, like a madman, and he didn't want to be bothered by anyone. And he was forced by the king's servants to hold the manikin at the palanquin for the king. And it's only through his actions and his consciousness that the king realized what a great personality Jadabharat was. So something that we can learn from this is that we should not judge people from their appearance. And so there is a great story about Gadadhar Pandit and Pundrika Vidyanidhi and Mukunda Datta in the end. So I would like to share this story in short, if that's okay. So this story is in the Chaitanya Bhagavat. So one day, Mukunda Datta said to Gadadhar Pandit that I would like to take you to meet a great, great personality. At this time, Gadadhar Pandit was a young man. So this was in Navadip. So they arrived at Pundrik Vidyanidhi's house. And what Gadadhar saw really amazed him. So Pundrika Vidyanidhi was surrounded by opulence. He was sitting on silken bed, sheet on his bed, and silken pillows surrounding him, opulent brass bed. And he had a gem pan box stuffed with fragrant spices. And he was chewing betel nut. And he had servants cooling him down with a fan. And his hair had been oiled with scented oils and neatly combed. And every so often, he would look at the mirror and smile at himself. So in his mind, Gadadhar Pandit was thinking, why has Mukunda Datta brought me here? Who is this person surrounded by all these material things? So, but he didn't say anything. So Mukunda Datta understood Gadadhar Pandit's mind. And he began to recite a song that Uddhava spoke in the, and it's in the Srimad Bhagavatam. And it says, who else can I worship than Krishna? And as soon as he started singing this, Pundrik Vidyanidhi went into ecstasy. He was stunned at first, and then he went into ecstasy, and then he started rolling off the bed, and soon the whole room was upside down. And then later on, Gadadhar Pandit then realized what mistake he had made. And he felt really, really bad. And then later on, he speaks to Lord Chaitanya and he says that I would actually like to take initiation from Pundrika Vidyanidhi. So therefore, it says in the Nectar of Devotion that we can't judge a devotee by their appearance, because the Atma within is what we are giving respect to. But we see that even in this material world, we are always making judgments on people. You know, we judge people by their wealth, by their profession, by their beauty, by their gender, by their faith. And we're always, well, I'm always judging people. And I would like to share an example. So a few years back, we went on book distribution, door-to-door book distribution. And we knocked on one door and this lady opened the door. And immediately I saw that this lady was from the Islamic faith. And I immediately in my mind, I thought, I don't think she will take the book. And, you know, I had made that judgment. However, my Prabhuji is very open-minded. So he persevered. He preached at the lady and she actually took a book and gave donation. So this really, really opened my eyes that actually, you know, we should not be judging anyone. And, you know, that is what our whole movement is about, that Krishna consciousness is for everyone. Another important point that Srila Prabhupada makes in today's verse is that a person is honored for his achievement and not for the advanced age. And especially he points out that Srila Sukadeva Goswami was only 16 years old. Now imagine that our 8 or 10 year old child wants to come and teach us something, give us some knowledge. So yes, we might humor our child, but you know, in our mind, we know, oh, they're only a little child. But here Srila Prabhupada says that by knowledge, Sukadeva Goswami was more experienced than all the sages present here. Although in age, they were a lot advanced. And this reminded me a story His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj spoke once. So he spoke this story that happened about 900 years ago in South India in Sri Rangam. So there was a great Acharya, Ramanuja Acharya, that we all know about. And he had tens and millions of followers. But his successor was somebody called Parasara. So when this Parasara was 5 years old, he did something really, really amazing. So in those days, the national sport in India was debating. So this is what they did. And the champion who was the champion in debating was given the highest honor and prestige. So one day, this world champion was going to visit Sri Rangam. So wherever he went, he proclaimed that he could answer any questions that were posed at him. And he achieved great wealth by doing this. And he was welcomed at Sri Rangam with great pomp and great ceremony. And all the scholars were so frightened of him, they all hid away because they didn't want to be defeated by this great, great scholar. And nobody wanted to debate with him. So he was sitting in his palanquin and, you know, his disciples and people with him were telling everyone, oh, somebody come and ask questions. You know, our guru can answer any question. There is nothing that he can't answer. So this little Parasara, who was 5 years old, went up to him and he said, I have a question for you. So the scholar thought, oh, who is this little child? So he just dismissed him. And then Parasara piped up again, oh, I have a question for you. And again, they dismissed him. And he said, little boy, just go to your mom, just go to your mom. And Parasara persevered. And he said that, again, I have a question for you. And this carried on. And then finally, the scholar gave in and he thought, okay, you know, let me just see what this child wants. So then he said, okay, so what is your question? So Parasara, he grabbed a handful of sand and he asked the scholar, how many grams of sand am I holding in my hand? And the scholar was stunned. He didn't know what to say. He just was amazed, and the whole crowd, everyone was just waiting for his answer. And the child was so pure-hearted, and he just asked simply out of curiosity. And the scholar couldn't answer. So the child then said to the scholar that, if all your knowledge doesn't give you the quality of humility and show respect to others, no matter who they are, then your knowledge is worth the same as this sand in my hand. And then the child just threw the sand on the floor. So the scholar then was so mortified that and amazed with this little child, Parasara, that he got off his palanquin and he actually bowed down and paid obeisances to this child. And he said, you are my guru, please you teach me. And then Parasara said something really interesting to him. So he said that a person with quality, good quality, is a tree with fruits. The tree bows down due to the weight of the fruit. A tree without good fruit just stands upright. So we need to respect and appreciate each other with humility. So that's a great lesson that little child is teaching us. And then we have another example in the Srimad Bhagavatam of little Prahlad Maharaj. And we all know the story, so I won't recite the story. But in Canto 7, Hiranyakashipu takes his son Prahlad lovingly on his lap and affectionately inquires, what have you learned today? Tell me, what is the best of the subjects that you've learned from your teachers today? And Srila Prabhupada said that Hiranyakashipu thought that Prahlad, being nothing but a small boy, would actually, he has no experience, so he might just, reply with something pleasing, but nothing practical. But Prahlad Maharaj, as we know, was an exalted devotee and he had acquired all the qualities of devotion. So he started instructing his father and, instructing him on devotional service and self-realization. And Hiranyakashipu was not at all pleased because he regarded the Lord as his enemy. So he was really not pleased and he tried to then kill his son in various ways. But then the Lord came as in the form of Narsingadev and saved Prahlad Maharaj, who was a dear devotee. And this again shows how this little boy Prahlad Maharaj was so knowledgeable and was such an advanced devotee. Therefore, again, I reiterate this point that, we should offer respect to those who are more advanced and not by their age or by their relationship or any of those things. And, we have so many stories in the Srimad Bhagavatam that obviously we can't go into today. But there is also an example of the little boy Raghunandan who offered the bhoga to his Gopinath deities. And here again we see that out of his love and innocence, his father just told him, make sure that you offer the bhoga to Gopinath and make sure Gopinath is fed. And out of his innocence, he then asks Gopinath to take the bhoga, and when Gopinath, the food doesn't disappear, and he then gets upset that Gopinath is not taking the bhoga, and so he carries on praying and saying to Gopinath, why are you not eating? Am I making some mistake? What is wrong? Please eat. And obviously the Lord reciprocates with Raghunandan. And he comes and he actually, takes the offering. So this is something that we can learn, that we should teach our children devotional service from a very little age. And Prahlad Maharaj says, Komara Acharet Prajno. So he says that one who is sufficiently intelligent should use this human form of life from the very beginning of life. In other words, from a tender age of childhood, to practice the activities of devotional service, giving up other engagements. And Srila Prabhupada also says this, that from the age of 5 years, one should start taking up devotional service. So it is so, so important that we start educating our children from the young age. And we see that in Prahlada's case, he actually heard from a pure devotee, Narad Muni, while he was still in his mother's womb. And so, you know, that is also so important, all the samskaras we have, you know, before even conception, while the child is in the womb and after the child is born. So all these samskaras are really, really important. Srila Prabhupada also says that Srila Jiva Goswami remarks that in this connection, every child is given an impression of the Lord from a very early childhood. They can certainly become a great devotee of the Lord like Maharaj Parikshit. One may not be fortunate as Maharaj Parikshit to have the opportunity to see the Lord in the womb of his mother. But even if he is not so fortunate, he can be made so if the parents of the child desire him to be so. And then Srila Prabhupada actually gives an example of his own life. And we all know this, that Srila Prabhupada's father was a great, great devotee of the Lord. And when Srila Prabhupada was a little child, I think he was only 4 years old, he gave him the deities. And Srila Prabhupada used to play with the deities, you know. And every time, you know, there was a ceremony or, you know, they used to go to Radha Govinda temple, which was just near their house. And Srila Prabhupada would come home and he would imitate whatever he had seen at the temple. And we also know the famous story of how Srila Prabhupada, as a young child, went on the first Rath Yatra with his deities. So, you know, so we learn from Srila Prabhupada's story as well that, you know, when Srila Prabhupada went to school, went to college, then, you know, all these devotional activities became less. But then later on in his life, when he met his spiritual teacher, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Swami Maharaj, Srila Prabhupada again took up worshipping the Radha Govinda deities that were his family deities, and he went back to that. And so we can see that if we plant this seed, you know, into the children's hearts at a very young age, then, you know, in their lifetime, they might take wrong directions or whatever, but then again, they will come back on track because they've got that in their heart. And I work at a school, so I teach children, and I see that these young children, you know, they're so sweet and they take up devotional service so quickly, because of their innocence, and they don't have any envy towards the Lord. Although I have an ego and I sometimes think that, oh, I will go and impart knowledge on these children. But actually, I learn from these children. You know, I learn from them that, you know, they are so innocent. They have no envy or enmity towards anyone. They give their heart fully. They give their heart fully to Krishna. And, you know, to make a change of heart when one is set in their ways is so, so difficult. And we see that even in the children, you know, when they turn 11, 12, you know, they start picking up the ways of this material world. And then they start questioning and they want proof for whatever you're saying to them. So, you know, you can see the difference of, you know, a younger child, and when they start getting older, obviously it's very difficult. And especially when, you know, you become an adult, it's even more difficult because, you know, we have developed that ego. We have all these material conceptions in our mind and things like that. So we are very lucky in ISKCON that, you know, Srila Prabhupada's mercy, we have the Gurukuls. We have the Avanti schools. We have clubs like Krishna Club, where we are really trying to educate young children, because this is the age that they will really pick up. And we also see that in Sukadev Goswami's, story, that Sukadev Goswami, we know that Srila Prabhupada says here that the son of Vyasadev was by his knowledge more experienced than all the sages present here. So, there are various places where Sukadev Goswami's qualifications are mentioned. And so we will look at just a couple. So we know that in Krishna Leela, Sukadev Goswami was Radharani's parrot. And when Radharani left this planet, the parrot wanted to go. And Radharani said to him, "No, no, you stay here." But obviously the parrot was not happy, and we can see why the parrot was not happy. So Radharani said to him that just go anywhere there is Hari Katha, and you will feel our presence. So this parrot, was flying around trying to find out where Hari Katha was going on. And he came to a place, I think it was the Himalayas, where Lord Shiva was reciting Harikatha to Parvatiji. And so then this parrot Sukha got so engrossed in listening to the Katha, and that was being recited. And and I think everyone knows the story. So then Parvatiji fell asleep. And, Lord Shiva carried on. And because she was not responding, this parrot was responding. So he carried on. Lord Shiva carried on reciting. And then at the end, Parvati woke up and she said, "Oh, I'm so sorry, my Lord. I nodded off." And then Lord Shiva said, "Yes, but then who was responding to me? Who was listening to me?" And he tries to find out, and he sees this parrot. And he starts chasing this parrot. And this parrot then goes into Vyasadeva's wife's womb. So she was yawning, and through her mouth, he goes into her womb. So we can see that even before Vyasadeva went into her womb, he had already heard the Harikatha. And then also Srila Prabhupada says in the Srimad Bhagavatam, in Canto 1, Chapter 7, Text 11, he mentions that, so I'll just read this. According to Brahma Vaivarta Purana, Srila Sukadev Goswami was a liberated soul even within the womb of his mother. Srila Vyasadev knew that the child after his birth would not stay at home. Therefore, he, Srila Vyasadeva, impressed upon him the synopsis of the Bhagavatam so that the child could be made attached to transcendental activities of the Lord after his birth. The child was even more educated in the subject of the Bhagavatam by recitation of the actual poems. So we see that Sukadev Goswami also heard the Bhagavatam while he was in the womb. And then after he came out, we all know this as well. After he came out, he stayed in the womb for 16 years and he didn't want to leave. And, Krishna said to him that you need to leave now. And he immediately left home because he didn't want to get attached to family or anything. So he immediately left home, and Vyasadev was following his son, calling out, "My son, my son." But, Srila Sukadev Goswami just went. But then later on, somehow, he came back, and Vyasadev again, educated him on the Bhagavatam. So we can see that the point that Srila Prabhupada is making here, that his knowledge was, and by knowledge, he was more experienced than all the sages here. So we can see that at every point, before he went into the womb, when he went into the womb, And after he came out, he had heard about Srimad Bhagavatam and he had so much knowledge and experience. So this also shows his qualification. And also people could see his qualification because when Sukadev Goswami was running away from home and his father was, Vyasadeva was running after him, they came across some maidens who were bathing in the pond. And Sukadev Goswami, because he'd just been born, he just ran out of the house. He had no clothes on. But the maidens just carried on. They just didn't think of anything of him. But when they saw Vyasadev, they felt embarrassed and they started covering themselves. And Vyasadev was a little bit taken back and he questioned them and he said, so how comes? And the reply that he got, so I'm just going to read the reply that he got from the maiden, says that your son is purified of all material contamination, they say. So when he looks at us, he makes no distinction between male and female. But as a householder, you do make distinctions. Therefore, we feel no shame before your son, but we must cover ourselves before you. So again, you know, this shows how advanced Sukadev Goswami's consciousness was. So we see that, you know, Sukadev Goswami has now appeared here and he is the best person to, answer Parikshit Maharaj's questions. And, you know, he is an authorized spiritual master and, you know, he's the best person to teach the Srimad Bhagavatam to Parikshit Maharaj. So I'm just going to recap the main points from today's class and then we can open up for reflections or anything else that anyone would like to add. So the first point that we discussed was how to show respect to a great personality, how we show respect by taking darshan or paying obeisances from feet up. And then the second point we made was the physical attributes that Srila Sukadev Goswami had. And these attributes are found in great personalities. And although the great personalities will not have all these opulences or all these physical attributes in full like Sri Krishna, you know, they do have them to some extent. And that is a sign that they are great personalities. Then the third point we discussed was that the great personalities generally don't show that they are great personalities. They like to hide that. And, you know, only other great personalities or great devotees, advanced devotees can recognize them. And also the point we made was that we shouldn't judge other people by their looks of social etiquettes or, you know, their faith or their beauty or their profession or anything like that. And then we talked about how Sukadev Goswami was only 16 years old, but he was more elevated and, you know, than other sages who were more advanced in age. So this is a lesson that we can take, that we can take, you know, we can take the teachings from anyone, even if they are a lot younger than us. And, you know, we shared so many examples of young children who were such pure, exalted devotees. And the lesson we can learn is that we as, you know, as a congregation, we need to educate our children so they take up this seriously from a very young age. You know, become Krishna conscious children. And then when they grow up, they can then pass it on to others. And finally, we looked at how knowledgeable Srila Sukadev Goswami was and where he got all that knowledge from. So, thank you very much for giving me this opportunity. And, you know, Can we have some reflections and corrections? I do not feel at all qualified to answer any questions, so I might ask the seniors in the temple room to maybe take questions, if I can't answer them. So thank you. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Satyavati Mataji, thank you so much for that wonderful class. I took a lot of notes, so and really enjoyed listening to that. We have one question from the temple room by Harika Mataji, who's mentioned basically, how can we try to get detached from those who we love with love? How do we leave our family with wholeheartedly feelings and not resentment so that we can give our lives to service of Krishna? Or is this not required by all?
Okay, Hare Krishna. Thank you so much, Harika Mataji, for that lovely question. And I'll try and answer it to the best of my ability. So from my understanding, it is that we do not need to leave our families. Bhakti can be performed at home, and it is our consciousness. So our families are also gifts from Krishna. So our parents, or if we have children, then we see them gifts from Krishna as well. So by serving them, we are also pleasing Krishna. So we don't need to, get detached from them. We can love them as children of Krishna. So we can serve them really nicely, and that is also a service. So many times Srila Prabhupada used to say that, if you've got young children, that is your service. That comes first because Krishna has given you that service. So if we have that mood, if we have that consciousness that everything belongs to Krishna and my family also belongs to Krishna, then we can serve them in that way. Now, if you're living at the ashram or anywhere like that, then obviously you are physically detaching from your family because you're moving away. And yes, that might help you a little bit by doing that. But, it's not really important that we leave home or physically detach ourselves from our family. It's more through our consciousness that we become detached. And it's not about detaching, it's about attaching. So we get attached to Krishna, we get attached to devotional service. And if we're seeing our family as part of that devotional service, then we are already detached because they are not mine, they are Krishna's. This family is not mine, they don't belong to me, they belong to Krishna. And, Krishna is giving me this service, so I will serve them any way I can, just like I will serve anyone else in this world. So if we look at the consciousness these great personalities in today's verse that we mentioned had, that was their understanding that this is not my father, this is not my mother, this is not my child. It's they are all children of Krishna. So we are all souls. So I hope that I have answered that question. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Satyarani Mataji. I have a question myself. So you mentioned how Srila Prabhupada, mentioned that respect should be by one's achievement and not simply by age. And I was actually wondering, as you were speaking, how difficult in today's modern day society it is to, take a little person serious sometimes, even if they're actually giving us, wisdom and knowledge that can help us in our life. The conditioning is so deep that, okay, theoretically, we know that we can learn from everyone. But then practically speaking, the false ego comes in sometimes. And then when someone like, let's say, a new bhakta or someone younger than us comes and gives us an advice, it's very easy to think to ourselves like, who is this, he has no position, I'm older than him, he's come recently, I've been around for a while, why should I take an advice from him, why should I listen from him, why should I ask him? So what would you personally say, what are practical steps, would you say, from your own personal experience in how we can develop and cultivate a mood of humility and be able to show that respect to everyone and be able to listen to everyone and take nectar from whatever they say, regardless of age?
Okay, thank you. I'm not sure that I can answer because I don't have that humility. And, you know, like I said, in my own example, you know, I go to teach at a school and, you know, I've got this ego that I'm here to teach you. But I think that if we, this is what my Guru Maharaj said, that if we have that, try to be humble, we can practice this, you know, that we see everyone as, you know, not in terms of their age or their dress or, you know, in terms of who they are, what their background is. If we see them all as souls, then it becomes easy. This is easier said than done. But, you know, we can take a moment and, yes, in the heat of the moment, if somebody younger than us comes and tells us something, our first instinct is to, oh, you know, how dare you, you know, do you know I'm older than you or whatever, I am more senior than you. But just to take a step back and just before we get into that mode, just take a step back and think, you know, okay, Krishna is sending me a message through this person. This is a message from Krishna, and Krishna can give us a message through anyone, whether it's a child or anyone. And, you know, just take a step back and think, okay, what is Krishna trying to teach me from this? And yes, we will, you know, our ego is there. And, you know, I can say my ego is definitely there. But I think the more we practice, the better we will become. It's all about practice, because we are all, well, I can talk for myself that I'm not a devotee. I am practicing to become a devotee. So if we just take a step back when this happens, and rather than getting annoyed or angry, just stop ourselves and think, okay, you know, something, Krishna is trying to teach me something through this person. This person is a messenger from Krishna. Then I think that might help us to understand what that person is trying to say to us. I don't know if anyone else would like to share any practical tips or anything on this point.
Thank you so much for that.